gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 47 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not heard, the South Harmon Rookie Guide is out. If you want to go check it out, go to draftguide25.com and get your copy. It has 54 player profiles for the upcoming rookie class, and it will get continuously updated from now through the NFL draft. If you want to see what the South Harmon team thinks of this incoming rookie class throughout the entire process, this is the guide to get. So go to draftguide25.com and get your copy. This week, I wanted to look into how the 2024 season differed from the seasons prior, and the only way I know how to do that is by looking at Warp. So what I've done is I have gone through and looked at the Warp results from this past season from a few different perspectives to try and figure out, okay, from this past season, what data do we have that can show us that things were different from what we should normally expect? And how can we maybe utilize that to give us an idea of where the market is potentially going to be biased? We know that the fantasy market gets biased based on the previous years of results. If you listen to Shane Manila over from DD Fantasy, there's a reason that he says when he's talking about players, hey, because George Kittle was healthy all 16 games last season, he's going to be healthy for 16 this upcoming season. We all know that's not how it works, but that's always how we end up valuing players and valuing positions the following year. We always look at the previous year. And so I wanted to look at some of the data from this past year, not just from the running back position, because we all know that the running back stayed healthy, but how did that compare at other positions as well? Are we just seeing a change at the running back position from average, or are we potentially biased from some of the other positions that are potentially in our lineups? The first piece of data that I want to look through is the total number of weeks from our top starters. The way I've defined this is in our normal start 10 lineup league, we're going to have two quarterbacks, two running backs, three wide receivers, and one tight end. So from each of those, we would expect a maximum of 16 weeks covered by the top 24 quarterbacks, 24 running backs, 36 wide receivers, and 12 tight ends. We would expect each of them to give us 16 weeks for each player. And how many of those weeks did we actually get this past season? And how did that compare to previous seasons? To start with the running back, since that's the one that we're all most aware of, there were more running back starts for this past season compared to previous years. So we had 356 running back starts out of a possible 384. And so we, for the top 24 running backs, we ended up missing 28 of them. But that was higher than average. On average, we usually get 346 running back starts. So we got an additional 10 starts. Now, looking at this, I was like, okay, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but that is about the difference of one running back. And that's just total number of starts across the top 24. So this total weeks number was already something I was looking at this and being like, this doesn't quite seem to be showing a huge difference. And when I look at the wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks, it very much shows that. The quarterbacks, this past season, there was only 6 more weeks than expected. Wide receivers, we had 12 under, but that 12 was 12 out of an expectation of 529. So we still got 517 weeks. And tight ends, we got 165 weeks where we were expecting 166. So that number of the total weeks by the top number of starters, that seemed to be pretty consistent with what we were looking at over the course of a season. It wasn't a huge difference. And I did the same analysis for the top 12. And to just quickly run through the numbers, the quarterbacks, we got literally one more week than expected. Running backs, we got five more. Wide receivers, the exact same amount. And tight ends, two less. So the number of weeks that we got covered by the players that ended up finishing the season in the top 12 of their position was about what we would expect. In fact, looking back to previous years, there's only two instances where that number differed by any amount that I would call significant. And that was the running backs in 2021 and in 2022. In 2021, the running back number was about 10 below the number of weeks that we would expect, whereas in 2022, the following year, they were about 10 above what we would expect. So if we look back to how we analyze those seasons, there was a big shift in the running backs at the top end going from 2021 to 2022. 2021 was probably a heyday for the backup running backs, the running backs that were just filling into your roster, whereas 2022 was you wanted the stud guys. And we kind of saw that play out in the fantasy markets a little bit, both leading into 2022 and into 2023. Now, 2024, from that aspect, is not terribly different than average. It is so close that I don't really consider it to be a difference. So looking at the total number of weeks covered by the top 12 at any position didn't seem like a good analysis to me. It didn't seem like, oh, we're getting a lot of these starters that are going to be covering a lot of weeks. And the reason I think that is the case is because in order to get to be a top 12 at your position, or even a top 24 or top 36 if you're a wide receiver, you need to just accumulate so many games in order to even get up there. And so the chance that we had these receivers who didn't have many games started on your fantasy teams and that they managed to hit up in that range is pretty low. So I'm going to kind of look at those numbers of the total weeks started. And with the exception of those running backs in 2021, 2022, I'm not really going to draw many conclusions out of it. The numbers were pretty close to average. They weren't that far from where I would expect them to be. And it's one of those things where variance is so close that I'm not confident that drawing any conclusions from that would actually make any sense. So then I decided to look at the actual warp results and look at how that compared for this season compared to average. And this is where I started to see some things that were really interesting. So when I looked at the total warp by the top 12 players at each position, I saw a massive spike across all four positions. The quarterbacks, they were up by about two warp in total for the top 12 quarterbacks. The running backs were up by four warp. The wide receivers were up by two warp, and the tight ends were up by two warp. If you look at all of those, in terms of that we have 12 total players, that means on average, each player was up a sixth of a warp over the course of the season. That means for any top 12 player at any position this past year, you had a 1/6 better chance of winning a matchup at some point over the course of the season. Consider that on average, if you just randomly distributed all of these players, you would expect that you would have at least four of these players. And we know in Dynasty, you're probably going to have even more than that because you're going to stack really good talent onto the good competing teams. All of a sudden, you might be looking at, I have six or eight or maybe even 10 of these top 12 players across all the positions. And that means that simply by it being 2024 compared to average, you got an extra win or an extra win and a half from having these guys. if you had more of the studs as opposed to the depth across all positions, that was a winning strategy this year. If you go back even just 1 year to 2023, that number was minus 1.4 for the quarterback. That was minus 2 for the running back, nearly identical for the wide receiver, and nearly identical for the tight end. So whereas in 2023, depth was king, especially at the quarterback and running back position, in 2024, the studs were king. You won your championships off of having a bunch of studs on your roster because they did better for you than in previous years. Going all the way back in time to 2019, where I have my AWARP data, there is not a single other season where we had the same results from how powerful the studs were in 2024. And if that wasn't enough for you, I can also look at it by warp per game. So the number of weeks generated where the warp per game was greater than 0.1, which means that you had a 10% better chance of winning simply by having this player on your roster, the number of weeks was astronomically more across the board for 2024. The quarterback position was the only one that was around average. It had generated 199 weeks where the warp per game was above 0.1, and we average about 196. So that number, almost even. But the running backs, the expected number was 215, and we had 306. The wide receivers, the expected number was 251. We had 356. We had 36 projected weeks off of the tight ends, and we nearly doubled that to 67 this past year. The number of weeks where we were starting those stud players and they produced not only at a rate that we would expect the studs to produce, but even better than previous years, it was astronomical this past year compared to average. For the running back, wide receiver, and tight end positions, this was highs going all the way back to 2019. The quarterback position was the only one that it was not the high for, and the quarterback position was still up there in the top three of the 6 years that I have data for. So looking at this, this is why I have the title of this episode is 2024, the year of the stud. This past season, it was the stud players that came out and performed for you. You could win championships off of having good stud players who got healthy for the entire year. And if you had those players on your teams, you were able to plug them in every single week, and they performed better than expected for you. So what does this mean in terms of what I want to do differently heading into the 2025 season? Is there anything that I can use from this to try and find an edge over my league mates? Well, my league mates are obviously going to overvalue the importance of their star players. And I have already kind of seen some of that. And I've kind of fallen into that a little bit. The ability to tear down is almost stronger than ever. And a lot of it comes from this bias. A lot of the really, really good players this past year were even more valuable to all the contenders. And what we should see this upcoming season is a reflection back to the average. We should always see regression to the mean. And what that means for us is that the number of top-tier running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends should come back down to normal. We should see some of these lower-end guys, the ones that are more considered to be your wide receiver twos and wide receiver threes, be closer in production to those wide receiver ones. The lower-tier running backs, we should see them come back to a normal amount of being closer to those running back ones. We should not see as many of the top-tier running backs last all the way throughout the season like we did this past year. We already know that. And that is what these numbers are telling us, that that happened. And so we should be recognizing, hey, there's going to be a regression to the mean at the running back position, but we also will see one at the wide receiver position. Those top tier wide receivers were insanely valuable to us this past year. And I don't think a lot of people have necessarily recognized that. We look at it like, hey, the wide receiver position, there were a bunch more injuries than we expected to the top tier guys. But the guys that ended up replacing them at the top tier were way better than their counterparts that were in that lower wide receiver tier ranges. And so we ended up getting even stronger wide receiver one performances of the ones that were there. And then the tight ends, we got even stronger performances out of them this past year too. While we didn't necessarily have the absolute game-breaking performances that we've gotten out of, say, previous year Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, we did get so many tight ends that produced at such a good rate that we got many more usable weeks out of those top-tier tight ends. Just like how I mentioned earlier, George Kittle, he is somebody who finished tight end 2 this past year, and he was a huge difference maker to every team that had him. But we can't expect that that is necessarily going to happen this upcoming year. We should see a regression to the mean. We should see that we don't have as many tight ends that produce at that high difference making clip. And George Kittle is a prime candidate to be one of those guys that doesn't do it. So if you're able to tier down at the tight end position right now, and you're able to go down into, hey, you go tight end 5 or 6, then you're able to accumulate some extra value and be able to use that at the right spot when the season comes. If next year is a depth year where you need a bunch of depth on your team, then you have the capital to be able to do that. Or if it's another top player year and everything that I've said is totally wrong, you're still going to have the draft capital to move right back on up. So you're able to keep yourself pretty flexible, but you want to be even more aggressive now with capitalizing on that value your top players have. If you have these guys that were the ones that won people championships last year, you should go and try to sell them even more than you normally would this offseason. Those ones that actually produced, they are the ones that people have in their minds, and the value that we are going to assign to them, just off of pure bias of recency memory, is going to be even stronger this past season than in seasons before. So that's what I'm going to be doing in my leagues, getting aggressive with doing these trade down deals, especially in combination with all the things that I've talked about these past few weeks of how I'm adjusting my roster construction coming into this upcoming season. I am going to be trying to tier down at a bunch of these positions, and that should allow me to get a bunch of the depth that I'm missing from a lot of those teams that are not contending. And I know that I'm getting better deals now than I've gotten in the past because of that recency bias. And I also don't need to be as scared about having all of those top tier players. This past year was an anomaly. And anomalies, they don't tend to continue. We tend to always regress back to the mean. And that mean is something that includes a lot more depth and includes a lot more of those players that are not the ones that are the top 12 every single week. There just are not as many of those guys that are as difference-making as there was this past year. That's everything that I have for you this week. If you have not gone and gotten it, go to draftguide25.com and go get your copy of the South Harmon Draft Guide. Get yourself familiarized with the rookies now. Right after the NFL Combine, right where we're starting to learn, hey, who's good, who's not. So that way you can follow them through the process. And oftentimes, following players through that process can help you figure out which are the ones you want to target when you have your rookie drafts kicking off that Sunday, right after the NFL draft. Or if you're crazy in all these South Harmon leagues, even before the NFL draft, you'll have all that data, all that information about, hey, these are the rookies that I think are going to get drafted well by their teams and actually be on the field and producing for fantasy. Once again, you can find that at draftguide25.com. That's all for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.